Welcome to KUI News, brought to you by Student Media and UI's student newspaper, The Argonaut. KUI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, opinions, and entertainment information within the Mollusca community, the country, and the world. KUI 89.3 FM is a student-owned and operated radio station, and all news and opinions are those of our student journalists and not those of our university. KUI News is underwritten by UI's own student magazine, Blot. Blot is on stands twice a semester on UI's campus and throughout the Mollusca community. For more information about Blot, navigate to blot.uidaho.edu.
Welcome to KUOI News. It's Wednesday, September 21st, and I'm Britt Kaiser. On today's show, we have, for news, a profile piece on UI graduate Courtney Rainville, who's on this season of The Biggest Loser, and information about ASUI's platform this year. For RAR, a roundtable centered around Taylor Swift. For sports, a recap of last weekend's Vandal soccer game against Washington State, the Sun Dodger cross-country meet, and the football game against Texas A&M. And for opinion, an editorial hour view about the campus-wide Humans vs. Zombies game. First, here's Elizabeth with information regarding this year's ASUI platform.
ASUI President Samantha Perez has several goals for her term, but they all share a theme: increase visibility of ASUI and educate students. Perez says she thinks ASUI is viewed as an overarching organization that makes rules and has a lot of money, but really wants people to understand that ASUI is the voice for students. Perez said she believes students might be dissatisfied or unhappy about something, but do not know how to fix it, and she wants ASUI as a whole to become more visible and accessible. She said ASUI does have a lot of power and influence and would like students to understand there is a possibility to make student life on campus better. To communicate the needs and wants of the students, Perez said she wants to let students know they can come to ASUI because there are representatives who attend faculty meetings and university standing committees who are able to advocate for students. She said her and Vice President Juan Corona also meet regularly with University of Idaho President M. Dwayne Nellis to give him an update on student needs. Another way they are working to make ASUI more accessible is by encouraging members to become more involved. Corona said he is sending senators to club and organization meetings because there is a tendency to just work from the office. Corona said his goal is to get senators involved so they can get feedback and comments from student organizations. He said he also wants to let students know what resources are available, including workspace and help from ASUI in setting up or participating in events. Visibility and accessibility do not end on the Mollusca campus, though. Perez said she wants ASUI to also be visible at a state level with the legislature and State Board of Education. To accomplish this, Perez said they are working to organize the legislative breakfast trip to Boise, which is an opportunity for one student from each of the 35 districts in Idaho to lobby for higher education to legislatures. She said they are also encouraging people to write letters to legislators and Governor C.L. Butch Otter. ASUI will also work with UI satellite locations and other colleges and universities in the state. Perez said she thinks government officials in Boise don't recognize there are students on campus who do care about their education and would like to see a favorable budget in the next year. In addition to increasing visibility throughout the state and campus, Perez said another goal for her and Corona is to have transparency with students about where their money is being spent. She said ASUI is directly in charge of the student activity fee, and they have worked to streamline the process of distribution. The student activity fee is one portion of the collective fees charged to students outside of tuition. It is then portioned out to student organizations that ask for financial support from the fee and support the request with reasons. In the past, only departments that have asked for increases have been evaluated for the use of money, Perez said, but the fee funds about 30 different departments. Perez said this year ASUI is not only looking at departments asking for an increase, but auditing all departments funded by the student activity fee to verify the money is being used for its original intent and continuing to benefit students. The department hearings will take place in October, and once they have collected all the information, an open forum will be held to present the information to students. For KUI News, I'm Elizabeth Rudd.
Thank you, Elizabeth. And now over to Lindsay for a feature on former Vandal and current Biggest Loser contestant Courtney Rainville.
According to the Center for Disease Control, 3 out of 10 college students are overweight or obese. This was the case for University of Idaho graduate Courtney Rainville before she was a contestant on Season 12 of The Biggest Loser, which premiered Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Rainville graduated in 2009 with a degree in communications and now works as an internet marketing specialist in Scottsdale, Arizona. She was born in Lewiston and has struggled with weight since she was a little girl. At 270 pounds, she said there were many moments throughout her day when she couldn't fit comfortably in clothes and couldn't cross her legs. She said she was 24 years old and had never had a boyfriend or gone on a date. According to an NBC press release, her father had a heart attack 2 years ago, as did her grandfather, who died. So, she applied to be a contestant on The Biggest Loser. The first time I applied, I was a senior at UI and kind of had help from my sorority sisters to help make a video and put myself out there, Rainville said. It was more on a limb to try and see if I could get a call back, what I never thought could happen. Rainville said that words could not describe her reaction to her callback. Although she was a fan of The Biggest Loser, she said she had a hard time watching the show because she was envious of the people who had a chance to lose weight. She also said, for those who watch the show at home, there's a misconception that contestants are overweight and lazy, and that viewers themselves can do the same work. Rainville said it's harder than anyone expected, physically and mentally. Depending on the day, Rainville trained an average of 6 to 8 hours. With trainers like Bob Harper, tennis player Anna Kournikova, and fitness expert Dolvit Quince, Rainville was intimidated to train with them initially, but she was excited to meet Harper, the veteran trainer. According to Jill Carmen, The Biggest Loser and NBC publicist, production of the show has already finished except for a shoot in October and the live finale. Rainville gave some wisdom to those trying to lose weight. She advises people to push themselves with a friend or try something they enjoy doing, bike riding, exercise classes, and basketball. Rainville said to also take advantage of the UI Student Recreation Center, although she did not. If you think that you can't keep going or you want to give up, you can go that extra mile or an extra 30 minutes, she said. The Biggest Loser, Battle of the Ages, is on NBC every Tuesday at 8 p.m., and episodes can be viewed online at NBC.com prior to the episode's premiere. For KUOY News, I'm Lindsay Treffery.
Thanks, Lindsay. Here's Madison to kick off today's opinion section with an editorial hour view.
The University of Idaho tries everything to get students involved on campus, from giveaways at athletic events to chalk marketing on sidewalks. But there's generally little or no reaction to these tactics. However, a solution may have been found to stop apathy and unite students in a common goal, through Nerf guns, marshmallows, and zombies. A campus-wide game of moderated tag, Humans vs. Zombies, hosted by InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, has invaded UI and almost 400 students are participating. Humans vs. Zombies began September 15th and continues for 10 days, as zombies try to take over and the humans strive to avoid infection. This game is not only infecting the minds of the people playing it, but many of those standing around watching. Students are now walking down the streets of campus in packs, wielding their blasters and armed with fistfuls of marshmallows. Both humans and zombies are scheming and as a result are meeting new people. Unlike a football game or concert, people aren't only interacting with their established group of friends, but are forced to branch out and make new connections. Humans vs. Zombies is engaging for those who are participating, but the concept could open up new ideas for how to market events to the UI community in the future. Games like this can be done on smaller scales as well. Residence halls, Greek houses, and off-campus apartments can hold events to bring everyone together and eventually work with other groups to create a larger sense of camaraderie between students. Student organizations, campus departments, and specific colleges could team up to host an event against one another. College is all about meeting new friends and taking part in experiences as you further your education. Add random invasions of zombies to that list, and students might actually get involved. For KUOI News, I'm Madison McCord.
My muffler's tied on with a guitar string. Owe $7,000 to a bank machine. For this car is ever really mine. Some fine day, I'll drive her downtown, get a burger, fries, and a royal crown, thanking God that I'll never have to pay another dime. My life is like a lemon drop. I'm sucking on the bitter to get to the sweet part. I know there are better days ahead.
And that was Pistol Annie's with Lemon Drop. Now, over to Nick with a recap of last weekend's football game.
Not only were the 11 Aggies on the field too much, the more than 86,000 fans at Kyle Field proved a force too strong for the Vandals, who left College Station, Texas with their second loss 37-7. The Vandal offense started Saturday evening with the ball but had to punt. Defensive captain Trayshawn Robinson's defense started fast and efficient with an Andre Ferguson interception off Texas A&M's quarterback Ryan Tannehill. The Aggies' defense forced two turnovers in the game, the second from a Robinson-forced fumble. From there, the Vandal defense was slowly worn down by the Aggies' athleticism. Brian Reeder's offense didn't have much success until late in the fourth quarter when the unit scored its only touchdown on a one-yard run from Texas native Troy Vidal. The 11-play drive showed promise against one of the nation's best teams. Reeder said that was a huge confidence booster for the team. He said it showed they could score against a team like that. Punter Bobby Callen made his trip to College Station worthwhile, punting 10 times for an average of 42.5 yards per punt. Coach Rob Akey said he gives credit to the Texas A&M squad, but is excited to get back to work before the Vandals' first conference test against Fresno State. Akey said even in a tough loss like the Vandals suffered, there are always positives. I thought we had a couple opportunities, left some plays on the field. We missed a couple throws that would have at least helped us move the ball a little bit, Akey said. Our players did compete, and they fought. I like the way they responded to adversity better in this ball game, better than what I've seen from them all season. For the third week in a row, receiver Mike Scott reached nearly 100 yards receiving. Safety Quinn Ashley performed well in front of a home state crowd, netting 6 solo tackles, 5 assisted tackles, and 1 broken up pass. The Vandals take the field at 2 p.m. Saturday for a Dad's Weekend matchup against the Fresno State Bulldogs in the Kibbe Dome. The Vandals have never beaten the Bulldogs in WAC play. Akey said the Vandals are ready for the challenge. For KOI News, I'm Nick Groff.
Thanks, Nick. University of Idaho sophomore Hannah Kaiser came out on top of the collegiate field Saturday, breaking a school record at the Sun Dodger Cross Country Invitational in Seattle. Kaiser's time of 20:58.43 beat the previous university record of 21:02 set by Dee Olson in 2005. Vandal assistant coach Alex Lee Painter posted the race's top time, defeating Kaiser by 2 seconds. Lee Painter represented Oisel, a club not affiliated with the NCAA. Idaho coach Wayne Phipps was more than pleased with Kaiser's performance. The defending WAC champion Vandal women finished second overall and were led by a fleet of sophomores. Alicia Butterworth was Idaho's second-place finisher and had the 8th best overall time, with 21:28.69, while Emily Paradis finished 10th overall with a time of 21:40.55. Senior Julia Vesith and sophomore Holly Stanton rounded out the pack with 14th and 19th place finishes. Idaho's male representatives notched a second-place finish and were only topped by the University of Washington, which hosted the event. The men were led by junior Barry Britt and senior Stephen Cole, who earned 3rd and 4th place finishes, respectively. Senior Marcus Geiger finished 7th, and senior Jeremiah Duby finished 9th. The men's top 4 finishers all finished in less than 25 minutes, and as a team, the Vandals were within 30 seconds of Washington, the region's number 6 team. Idaho runners who had the opportunity to compete in last year's Sun Dodger Invitational saw major time improvements, something Phipps recognized immediately. Phipps said the team averaged 23 seconds faster per person this year, which is their fastest team average for that course. Idaho will prepare for their next test, an October 1st appearance at the Charles Bowles Invitational in Salem, Oregon. The Vandals will have 2 more opportunities to gain valuable experience prior to the 2011 WAC Championships in Honolulu. For KUOI News and Theo Lawson, I'm Britt Kaiser. And here's Sean with a recap of Sunday's soccer game against Washington State.
Every once in a while, the final score fails to tell the entire story. The University of Idaho women's soccer team played such a game Saturday in its 2-1 overtime loss to the Washington State Cougars. The Vandals play one of their best games of the season only to drop a heartbreaking loss to their border rival. Coach Pete Schaller said the team was devastated because they played a great game, but he also said he was proud and that he couldn't ask much more of his girls. Schaller also said that, although it's disappointing to lose like that, A game such as that also builds character. Physicality and emotions ran high between the Palouse rivals at Guy Wicks Field in Moscow. A lot of the players on both sides of the pitch were familiar with one another from high school competition and recent years' competition. The Vandals were also put in a difficult situation when injuries put the team down to its third-string goalkeeper, junior Caroline Tells. Schaller said Tells stepped up and took care of what she needed to take care of. She was arguably the Vandals' most valuable player, and she dealt with an offensive barrage from the Cougars of 11 shots on goal, making 9 saves. She dove all over the box, defending every inch of her net to help keep her side level with Washington State heading into overtime. But Schaller said there was nothing she could do about either of the goals that the Cougars put in. Tiles gave credit to her backline defense as the Cougars put a lot of pressure on the Vandals in the second half trying to score the go-ahead goal. The Cougars took 22 shots, putting 11 on goal. The Vandals gained early confidence striking first when freshman Katie Barron directed home a goal in the third minute of the game that barely eluded Cougar goalkeeper Gervian Clare. Barron said the goal was somewhat of a surprise but a confidence booster for the Vandals, reinforcing the notion that they could compete. Washington State equalized in the second half when they created effective movement down the field and freshman Bo Brammer got in behind the Vandal defense to convert a one-on-one opportunity against the Vandal goalkeeper. The Cougars had an opportunity later in the second half to take the lead but when the referees called Idaho for a penalty in the box, but the Cougars failed to convert on the penalty kick. A similar situation to the Cougars' first goal occurred early in overtime when Brammer went directly at Tiles again and scored the golden goal victory for the Cougars. Despite the result, the Vandals took away a plethora of confidence from a match that they feel they still had a great opportunity to win. For KUOI News, I'm Sean Kramer.
I've been thinking about setting my house on fire. Can't see a way out of the mess I'm in, and the bills keep getting higher. All I need is a match and a gallon of gas. God, I'm getting tired. Gonna set this house on fire. Been thinking about going off the deep end. My man can't get no overtime, and the baby ain't been sleeping. All I need is a washing machine. These ends of mine ain't fading. I'm about to go off of the
And that was The Housewife's Prayer by Pistol Annies. And here's today's musical discussion on Taylor Swift.
You can take me down with just one single blow. But you don't know what you don't know. Someday I'll be living in a big old city.
Thanks, Britt. I'm Elizabeth Rudd, and joining me is Madison McCord. So, Madison, T-Swift. I gotta say, not a huge fan.
Well, that's open. Please explain. Why aren't you a fan of the gifted T-Swizzle?
I'm gonna tell you why. It's because... Now, let me clarify something real quick just for you. I was a fan. Okay, I bought the first CD. I went to see her in concert. But after the first CD, every single one after that sounded exactly the same. Give me something new. That's all I'm asking for. Something new. I don't care that Drew made you cry. I don't care that Corey did. In fact, I don't really care that Taylor Lautner now has. Write about something else.
She's a crier. It happens. But you know, Rhett, one thing that's an important role in Taylor Swift and her music-making creation and abilities is the fact that she actually writes about stuff that's happened. Granted, it falls into the same category somewhat near, but I'd rather have someone who gives and conveys true emotions compared to, well, let's say we just had a discussion, Elizabeth. You're a big fan of $ke$.
Let me clarify.
Because I think that's the pronunciation of her name. And can you make sure that.
Let me just clarify this. I never claimed to like Kesha for her emotional integrity.
But you claim to like Kesha, and that's really the point that I'm going to attack in this biased argument, is the fact that $ke$. She sings about four main things. And I said three, but you correctly informed me that it's four. The word blah, glitter, dancing, and Jack Daniels. And Britt, our lovely host for the day, actually brought up a point that Kesha once said that she creates music not because she feels attached to it, but just because she knows that it'll sell. Whether you like what someone's singing about, if they're singing something that they can emotionally connect to, it shows through in the performance. And that's one thing that really gets me with Taylor Swift, is the fact that she is a very talented singer, songwriter, and instrumentalist.
Okay, I'm going to go back to your point here on performance. Kesha is not about relating to. It's about dancing. It's about being crazy and having fun and not caring what anybody else on the dance floor thinks of you when you're dancing like a crazy person. Performance? I went to Taylor Swift in concert. If her music could make me dance like a crazy person, hands down to her. But she can't. She barely runs around on the stage herself.
So
that's not a performance.
We're getting away from the argument of, is it good music and does it make dance like a crazy person?
Because
That's different things. Because if we want to go on Dance Like a Crazy Person, sure, Kesha tops my charts every day of the week. But in pure music and talent and ability, I don't think anyone in kind of that new era with a Kesha, Britney Spears, who is, I would argue to say, worse than Kesha, can match up to a quality of someone like Taylor Swift, who completely commits herself and delves in to her art form, something that the other two cannot call the ear-burning, bleeding stuff that they produce.
Here's the thing, though. I never said I liked Kesha for her good music. You're making that assumption. I'm telling you why I like to listen to her, which has to do with crazy dancing. I don't enjoy listening to Taylor Swift because her music makes me want to fall asleep.
So what is some good music that you like listening to? Not dancing, but some good music that's come out recently. And I'm sure I'll agree with you on some, but some in that kind of same area.
Here's one I think you can agree with me on this one. That is a good quality singer, has a great voice, puts out some good songs that people can relate to. Adele.
Fantastic.
Great singer.
Fantastic.
Taylor Swift, nowhere near close to the same kind of level. And that girl has only put out like one, maybe two hits now.
Adele.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure.
Basically, both of her albums, start to finish, have been hits.
Oh. They've
got radio play pretty much every song.
Okay, fine.
But
fair enough.
And I wouldn't argue whatsoever. Adele is possibly the best singer that there's been in the last 20 years. I would not even argue that, but why don't we just pull in, you know, I don't know, I haven't had a chance to read your segment, which you can check out this Friday in RAR.
I didn't read yours either.
What are some of the things that you talked about? Some other stuff besides maybe Adele or anything else that hits? Or did you bring up Kesha and all them? Or
I specifically related it just to Taylor Swift and her lack of creativity.
Her lack of creativity.
I think the last time the girl had an original song was her first release. You want to know why? Because every single one after that sounded exactly the same.
Oh, no, they did not sound the same.
Yeah,
They have different tunes and different tones.
So similar that it's hard to tell which lyrics go to which song.
Oh, well, that is terrible because as someone who hates country music with a passion.
Taylor Swift is not country.
No, well, most people would consider her, since she has won several country music awards. So bring that up with the Academy.
Okay, but she's played on every radio station across the country. So she can't really be labeled as a country singer.
Well, what do you label her as?
She's this horrible little offspring of a mesh of nothing.
And what do you label Sheryl Crow as?
Same thing. I'm not a fan of Sheryl Crow. Faith Hill is country all the way. You might hear occasional songs on the pop stations, but that's like one or two hits.
Faith Hill
had five CDs.
Faith Hill was known. Faith Hill's had much more than five CDs.
No, she hasn't.
Faith Hill.
Do you want to fight?
We're not. They can't see us fighting on the radio.
Right.
Faith Hill was known as one of the leading innovators of mixing country and pop together, something that Taylor Swift has done along with a Sheryl Crow.
Where are you getting this?
Facts.
Liar. All right, Madison. We all know I don't actually think you're a liar. I love you. But we disagree on Taylor Swift. Can we agree on that?
I can agree that maybe we may not have the same views, but at the end of the day, you know, when I was 15, all I wanted to sing about is what was going on in my life and my best friends and that first boy. So with that said, the creativity and magic flowing, I think it's time to wrap up this conversation and leave it up to you, the listener, to say who the victor is.
Yeah, because Drew is waiting for you to wipe off your teardrops.
He's waiting outside. I actually need to get back to him.
All right, back to you, Britt.
Thanks, guys. Who knew a conversation about T-Swift would get so heated and so off track? But to get back on track, here's Anthony with your calendar update.
Here's your calendar update for Wednesday, September 21st. In the Moscow area, today at the Haddock Performance Hall, the Auditorium Chamber Music Series will host a piano masterclass with Stephen Drury. At 4 p.m., there will be an artist reception for Courtney Brockett hosted by the Women's Center. The reception and display will take place in the Memorial Gym, Room 109, right next to the Art and Architecture North Building. This evening on KUOI, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., Noises from the Attic will be giving away a pair of tickets to see Devil Driver and stands side stage during their set, and a pair of tickets to see Arch Enemy, the same show, happening this Saturday, September 24th, at the Knitting Factory in Spokane. From 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Pritchard Art Gallery at 414 South Main Street, the Humanities Exploration will be presented by Professor of Music Dan Bukovich, Naveen Chetri, and Jazz Choir One. And tonight at John's Alley, the Hoot Hoots, Sad Face, and local fellow John Treasure will make musical appearances starting at 9:30 p.m. Tomorrow, Thursday, September 22nd, Cold Hard Ground will be performing at John's Alley starting at 9:30 as well. On Friday the 23rd, the Pritchard Art Gallery will be hosting their 25th anniversary party featuring performances by Finn Riggins and Atomic Mama. KUOI will be there broadcasting. Saturday, September 24th, join us on KUOI to hear the live call of UI Vandal football versus the Fresno State Bulldogs. Pre-game is at 1:30 p.m. with kickoff at 2 p.m. And finally, this Sunday, September 25th, Birds on a Wire Minifest kicks off with a concert at the Bell Tower in Pullman, Washington. Featuring locals New Lagoon in their first show ever, Cody Beebe and the Crooks, and the Moondoggies. For more information about the festival, navigate to belltowerpullman.com. That'll do it for your calendar update. For KUOI News, I'm Anthony Saya.
And that wraps up today's show. Music on this newscast came from a new country trio, Pistol Annies, featuring Miranda Lambert, Ashley Monroe, and Angelina Presley, debut record Hell on Heels. For more information, they can be found on the web at pistolannies.com. And now for their song, Taken Pills. For KUOI News, I'm Britt Kaiser.
She's on the high dose of Prozac a woman can take. She likes to pop her pain pills with every little aid. Go!
kids just trying to get by playing for tips on Saturday night.
Thanks for listening to KUOI News. KUOI News is brought to you by Student Media in conjunction with UI's Argonaut. For more information about news on this program, navigate to KUOI.org or UIArgonaut.com. If you'd like to submit a story to KUOI News, feel free to email us at KUOI@UIdaho.edu or arg-radio@UIdaho.edu. KUOI News is underwritten by UI's own student magazine, Blot. Blot is on stands twice a semester on UI's campus and throughout the Moscow community. For more information about Blot, navigate blot.uidaho.edu. And remember, KUOI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, opinions, and entertainment information within the Moscow community, the country, and the world.